Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again for our radio audience. Thank you all for joining us for another great hour. For those joining us online, though, we have a great segment coming up for you. Claire Dunkel is making her first appearance on our program today. We're going to be talking to her not only about her own love affair with words, but what it's been like for her to be able to share that literally with the world. One of the ways she's been able to do it is through two powerful books that I had a chance to read. One is called Hope and Other Luxuries. The other she wrote with her daughter, Elena Dunkel, called Elena Vanishing. We're going to talk to Claire not only about the journey of being able to share her own personal journey, her own truth, but also what it's been like for her to know that she's been able to inspire people along the way. Claire, hello to you and welcome to the program.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. As I was sharing with you before we went live here, my regular listeners here on the radio dial, Claire, know that I've talked about over the years about my own struggle with eating disorder and other issues that I've gone through, and it's always great to be able to bring attention to causes like this and to issues like this, because I love the fact that your daughter and you were able to show that there is hope and that you don't have to go through this alone. Let's kind of begin the conversation there. I mean, what has it been like for you as you've been able to share your own personal journey, Claire, and to see the way that people have responded to it?
It's really been wonderful. First of all, we shared that journey as a family with one another, and that was something that was very helpful for all of us, I think. It's an important part of an anorexic recovery to work within the family with family therapy. But then everywhere we've been so far, there's just been an outpouring of support. No one has left Elena alone to be the only person in the room to say, I am a rape survivor, I am a survivor of eating disorders. And for me, too, the outpouring of support from other parents and other family and friends has just been amazing.
You know, the thing I think about a lot of times, and because I remember the first time I mentioned it, actually in the speaking engagement, Claire, myself, about, you know, what I have gone through and the journey from it, you know, is, you know, you never know. You never know how people are going to react. I mean, you are a person, as I said, who has been a lover of words for quite some time and been able to share that. I mean, did you have any hesitation of finally sharing your own story and your family's story?
Oh, absolutely. I put it off. You know, I didn't help Elena with her memoir for years because I felt that this was her story to tell. But finally really got into it as a way to try to understand my daughter again. But then when my publishing house asked me for my story, that I wasn't even sure I could do it. And there were times when I would be writing and I would realize that I was revealing things about myself and about my family that my own friends didn't even know. Total strangers would be reading this. I would have to go just curl up under a fuzzy blanket for a few minutes to recover.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it has to be great. But, you know, it has to also be, I'm sure, because I know it was for me, I mean, it has to also be liberating in a sense. What did you feel like as you were writing it, that it was almost a sigh of relief?
You know, it was a little bit hard because I had to leave the reader free to make up his or her own mind about what was going on. I couldn't just tell my story my way. I really had to leave all that uncertainty in there for the reader to pick up on and say, you know, I don't believe this was the right approach. I really wanted the reader to be free to have that option. And so that made it very, very difficult. It really wasn't so much a sigh of relief, but I do believe, you know, I'm a firm believer that the truth will set you free, and so that was just what Elena and I both hung on to, was just that there really is nothing about the truth that can hurt you.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that is an amazing thing. And speaking of the truth and being free, there's one passage I have to read, Claire. I want to say, though, for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm excited to welcome to our program today for the first time Claire Dunkel is here. We're discussing not only about her own journey as a writer, but what it's been like for her to be able to now pen her own story. Hope and Other Luxuries is the book I had a chance to read, A Mother's Life with a Daughter's Anorexia. And I think the thing is, and as I've talked about on this program over the years, that I think if one family member is going through something, and Claire, I think you would definitely attest to this, it really does affect everyone. So then it then becomes incumbent on the entire family as to how they're going to deal with it. Do you think that is part of the reason why you all have been able to have the success you've been able to have, because you've been able to work together?
Absolutely. It was a long journey, and it took us a while to get there. And, you know, so much of this began, and I don't know if I really should speak about this on the air, but I think it's important to mention that my daughter was raped at 13 years old and mm-hmm. kept that horrible secret. Even though we took her to child psychiatrist doctors, she kept that secret. She was so ashamed. She didn't want anyone to know. And during that time, there wasn't the possibility for us to work together as a family. We weren't all able to share that and help carry that burden with her. And so during that time, I really came to understand how bad things could be when communication shut down. And now I can look back on it and talk about just how horrible that crime is for families and how difficult, you know, so many eating disorders are triggered by trauma, how difficult eating disorder is for an entire family. But I see it not so much as the difficulty of the eating disorder on the family. I see it as just an echo of that terrible crime.
Yeah. You know, I'm not a parent myself, Claire, so I can't even imagine what it's like for a parent to not be able to take away what their child is going through. So I won't even try to say I understand that. But I want to actually read what you write about in Chapter 22 of Hope and Other Luxuries, because as the counselor says it, and then you visualize it as the storyteller that you are and the visual individual that you are, I think it's really sobering for all of us. For those who have the book, it's on page 255 of the print edition. And the counselor says this: it's important for you to step back now. You've done your job. You got your children here, and that's great. But now it's time for them to take over. He paused while we all pondered that extraordinary thought. You've given them roots, he said. It's time to give them wings. Roots? Wings? My imagination spun for a second or two. Then it coughed up an image of an eagle whose claws had grown into the ground. He was flapping his wings, trying to fly, but the root claws wouldn't let him. Roots and wings, that made for one very unhappy bird. And once again, I smiled. But once again, as I glanced around, I found that no one else was smiling. The other parents were nodding solemnly. You know, that is, I think, something that, you know, I thought about a conversation my mom had with me years ago about the importance of being, you know, what the greatest gift she could give is to give us our freedom, my brother and myself. I mean, what was that like for you to kind of ponder about, to think about that you had limitations and that you had to get to a place where you had to be able to let go?
I've always loved that idea. I've really always loved the idea that my children are growing through every experience they have, not just with me and not just in the family. And so that was an idea that I had embraced quite early in their lives. And when they came back from a two-week experience in a German boarding school, it had been a cultural exchange, these two American girls in this German boarding school. When they came home, and Elena was 12 at the time, and said, "We want to go here full-time," I really embraced that. I loved that idea that they had found this amazing place to have all of these amazing experiences. So I do think that freedom to fly, to go off and have wonderful experiences is something that that every parent, I would think, should embrace, but it did. I did learn caution and I did learn fear through, you know, some of the things that did happen. They were not at all the fault of the boarding school or any of the people involved. I want to emphasize that right now. But,
right.
But some of the things experiences that Elena did go through as a result of those outside friendships, it was the caution that came after, not the love of their freedom.
Yeah, I think that is really an amazing thing. You know, I should say, too, and you make this very clear in the book as well, and I think readers will appreciate this, that just like in everything, there are some good in everything and there's some bad in everything. Unfortunately, not everybody who is at a particular place or does a particular job is the best at that. And it can be frustrating, I think, for us when you're trying to get to a certain outcome, trying to get a certain result, and you're not able to do that. We kind of feel that frustration with you as we're going throughout the book, Claire. But I think that the one word that keeps coming up, and it's so great to be able to see it, even when your daughter Elena and you were just unpacking, and that was peace, being able to have some semblance of normalcy. Do you find that appreciation, especially as you were writing this, made you really reflect on what really mattered and how important those little things were in life, and not so much the big thing, but those little times that we all experience?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just, I think there are things that we keep very close to ourselves. For me, it's knowing where everything is, having my world in a little bit of order, even if it's just the immediate world around me. When Elena and I were sharing a hospital room, for instance, you know, I had this one little end of it, and it was like an oasis for me. And my imagination, too, is a world that I can normally keep in some semblance of order. Those things were very important to me, and in fact, it really did let me see how badly I had been damaged by this fight when my imagination shut down. That was a terrible experience for me.
Yeah. There is another thing, and I won't actually read this, but I think you'll know what I'm talking about without reading it, Claire, where, you know, the writer part of you kind of becomes a part of this chapter 36 of the book, where you're kind of going through these conversations in your mind, and how the writer in you mentioned it several times in this chapter, how the writer in you is able to kind of take information and then to be able to either piece it together and then come away with something from there. Do you find that, especially as you were going through this journey and you thought about, you know, it's again writing this book about, you know, the writer's mind, as you even called it in that chapter, do you find that was an asset to you as you tried to understand and what was happening with your daughter, what was happening with your family, and what was happening with you?
It really was. That the part of the book that you're talking about, that's where I began to try to help Elena with her memoir. And in so doing, I was able to bring my writer's side into those conversations that I was having with her. She was so courageous. She just put it all out there and said, ask me anything. And so I began to do these interviews with her, and I realized how desperately partisan the mother in me was. You know, the mother was just frantic to try to find hope or constructive signs, and there weren't really a whole lot of constructive signs at that point. Elena was very ill, and it was key for me to be able to let the writer side of me just be an observer, a non-judgmental observer who could stay calm. And that later became critical, because I realized that the mother's side in me was being manipulated, just was so ready to find hope, was so ready to sort of bury her head in the sand in a way and look away from the real danger signs, that it was the writer's side of me that was able to say, look, your daughter is going to die. You know, she's going to die. We are losing this fight. And that was absolutely critical that happened when it did. And I was able to express that to the family. We were all able to rally and help Elena through a very, very difficult time.
Yeah. Could you have imagined that your story, and kind of going full circle of how we began this, that it would be an example to others as to what was possible for them, maybe not even dealing with anorexia, Claire, because I thought about this, that just in dealing with life, regardless of what you're facing, that a lot of this is about your attitude about it, your attitude about what is and what can be.
I never would have thought that I would have written a book that would have put me in the protagonist role. I'm glad that my editor asked me to do it. I feel that I've done the best I could with that task, and in a way it was the right thing to do. You know, we were in this life or death struggle, and writing is what I do. It's what I know how to do. So it was right that I brought that talent in. And I do very much hope that it helps other parents, other family members understand not just the trauma of post-traumatic stress disorder and sexual assault surviving, but eating disorder and all of those things. I really, really hope it's able to help them gain more insight into that, but also gain more insight into the trauma that they themselves are going through as family members dealing with these painful, painful issues. But did I think I would go there? No, I love to write things that take me to completely different worlds. So I really, really didn't expect this at all.
Yeah. Well, it's a great thing to have happened, I think, you know, to be able to know that you have been able to do that, to have that effect, because when I was reading it, I mean, it definitely, I mean, it goes back to something else we talk about in the show a lot, Claire, and that is that none of us are alone. No matter how much we think no one could ever understand what we're going through, most of the time those are the very things that other people do, you know, understand, but they don't have anyone to put a voice to them. So I think to be able to read your words and to realize the vulnerability, and I think that goes to another point of this book, is how much you were able to find strength by being vulnerable. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And, you know, you've put your finger on exactly what kept me writing when this project became very, very painful. And when I, you know, the family was doing better, I would have liked to have sort of turned away and done something happy, but I stuck with this project. It was because I had felt so alone as a parent, so alone and so confused. I do want to be there for other family members if I can, even though it's not that I have answers, it's just that at least I can be company for them. This book can be company for other mothers who are asking themselves, you know, where did I go wrong? What do I do? That really is what kept me writing. And you're right, we aren't alone. We don't have to be alone, especially if we read.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, just as a side point, because I thought about this too when I was prepping for this segment with you, Claire, isn't it interesting that, and you even alluded to it in this conversation, and I smiled when you said it, that even in fiction, sometimes we can find out the truth of ourselves, that fiction has a way sometimes of making us look at ourselves in a non-judgmental way, because it's not a real person, even though it may be a real situation that we can relate to.
That's absolutely true, and in fact, you know, I don't even know who said it, but I think we all feel it. Fiction writers, we are trying to write a truth. We're trying to write an experience accurately so that the reader who reads that experience will gain some insight into the real world out of it, some lesson that we ourselves have learned along the way. So I do think that tell the truth, ironically, is the motto even of those of us who write about goblins and elves and werewolves and things.
Exactly. Very well said. Great conversation with you today, Claire. Again, everyone, Claire Dunkel has been our guest. We've been discussing her journey as she's been able to share it in her book, Hope and Other Luxuries, A Mother's Life with a Daughter's Anorexia. For those joining us on the radio dial at the bottom of the hour, you guys will be hearing my conversation with the daughter we've been discussing here, Elena Dunkel. She'll be here discussing the book, Elena Vanishing, that she was able to write with Claire as well. Claire, how can our listeners stay connected with you and keep up with what's coming up next for you?
Well, I have a website, and it's my name, so clairedunkel.com. I do post occasional blog posts there. I'm not terribly hooked in, but you can reach contact info on that website as well. So I do hope readers reach out and get in touch.
I'm sure they will. And make sure you guys get the book wherever your favorite books are sold. If it's not at your favorite bookstore, have them order it for you. Or you can always go over to our friends at Amazon.com or get it even at one of the other online retailers for sure. But again, Hope and Other Luxuries is the title of the book, A Mother's Life with a Daughter's Anorexia. I checked. If you just type in Claire B. Dunkel, all of Claire's books will come up there, and you'll be able to find it from there as well. Claire, again, thank you so much for the time today. I really appreciate it. It's a great conversation, and I hope you'll come back. We'd love to share with you again.
Thank you so much, Cyrus. We really appreciate everything you do.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. And we appreciate you, our listeners, for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. For our online audience, we are going to be losing you guys. So if you came in late and you missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay. The link is already available on our social media sites at facebook.com/CyrusWeb, or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Just click on that link. You can listen to the show completely for free. For those joining us on the radio dial in Atlanta on 106 Live, as well as those joining us in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, you can check with your local station to find out when the show will be re-airing for you. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music, as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.